like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a band that was on the show for the first time last year. And the last time it was just one of you. Now we've doubled the quantity of band members appearing on the show. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourselves and the band again, for people who maybe missed the first time you were on the show, and we can sort of go from there about what the new news is with Omens.
I'll go first. My name's Mike. I'm a lead guitar player. I also do the production, the recording, mastering, mixing of the music, and writing partner with this guy.
Cool.
So we write, all of the songs.
Yeah. I'm Trevor Tominski. I'm the singer, play a little bit of guitar, but mostly leave that to people who can know the instrument better. We're the founding members of Omens.
Cool. And I guess the last time you were on the show, Omens was still a fairly new thing. I mean, you had this record that you were, I can't remember if it was out yet or was about, I think it was about to come out at the time you were on the show. And now that's obviously been out for over a year now. You have new music happening. You've been playing a lot of shows. Things are going on. So sort of where is the band, I guess, at this point in time? How have things changed, I guess, since the last time we talked, which was very early on in the Omen sort of existence?
Well, I think one thing that's changed is just, we kind of have a record out there and have started to build a fan base. But we quickly realized as soon as we released the album that we kind of did it wrong. We've been around for a while, and this is kind of a new era of streaming music and things like that we weren't completely comfortable with or knowledgeable about. And so now we've since learned that sort of releasing music a single at a time at a regular cadence is what pleases the algorithm gods. And so we're kind of going about the release of our second album in a different way.
Okay. Well, I, as someone who's, definitely a Luddite and stuck in the past, I appreciate that you did it the what I consider to be the proper way the first time around. But I know what you mean for sure. I mean, it's not unusual for people to release only singles at this point in time and not even worry about albums, because it's all super based on sort of the one song and promoting the crap out of the one song and then sort of going from there. So I guess, how did you sort of determine that you were doing it wrong after the first album came out?
Well, really, it came down to we could only promote one song out of the 12 that we released. So, like, all the streaming platforms out there, really, once you release anything, so it can be a one song or 10 songs on an album, they'll only let you promote one song off of that. So, really, we only gave Black Magic a fair shake. And then we kind of sat for a year. And like you said, we released album, we played some shows. We promoted ourselves in a few different ways. We got into a feature in Europe in one of the magazines, the metal magazines out there. So one of our songs, Divide and Conquer, ended up getting featured out there. But
oh, cool.
But yeah, at the end of the day, so what we decided to do with the first album was go more the YouTube route. And we started recording a bunch of videos, just cheapo videos, not, spending a ton of money on it or anything, but things that we felt promoted the song and looked good. And this time around, we figured, so Trevor and I started kind of the beginnings of writing this new album, and we decided, why don't we just release the album one song at a time?
Yeah.
So this album too that we're releasing, but we'll release it one song at a time, and at the end when we're done and we're happy, we'll package that as an album and call it Album 2, Omens 2 or whatever.
Because like you said, like we're big fans of the album format. I don't completely understand listening to a song at a time. It just doesn't stick to my ribs like an album does, and I think it's just a completely different experience when you listen to a complete body of work that
for sure
has been sequenced, you digest a certain way as a listener and all that. So, I mean, we kind of have in the back of our minds, I mean, it's still taking shape for us in some way. We're doing this for the first time, releasing a song at a time, but like the whole thing is written. So we kind of have some idea what the album's going to sound like, but we are still recording them one at a time. And that's, it's different for us too. I'm not sure yet. It's a little early in the process probably to decide whether or not we like it. But we're going to see what it nets out in terms of results, you know?
Yeah. So I guess how you're obviously approaching this differently, right? I mean, like you said, you had the songs written already, but the way they're re-released and recorded and all that is different from the first one and different from what you've experienced in bands in the past. Does that require you to sort of like rearrange your thought process in general as far as sort of which songs to put out when and how to release them and where to release them and sort of who they're targeted at? Or is it the same as it would be if you already had this recorded and you were sort of putting them out one at a time anyway? Is it a different like brain function to sort of get your head around this?
I would say it's a different bit of a thought process, as you don't have that body of work and then decide what to do with it. You're creating it as it goes along. And we might, and we've talked about this, we might release 10 songs, 11 songs and decide that only 8 are going to go on the quote unquote album. Right.
Right.
So it's not that these songs won't be kind of packaged in a certain way at the end of it all. But I think the smartest way to go about the way everything works nowadays, like, again, we released our first album in 2000, and yeah, the music industry is so different now. It's definitely a different process now. Yeah.
I will admit though, like there's a couple of things. So sort of like online streaming, and then also like on the opposite end of things, like the LP format, because we ended up putting out our first album on LP, but it was so long, just the runtime of it, that we had to make it a double gatefold, double LP, which costs a fortune.
I bet, and, yeah. It looks good. It looks good. It sounds good though.
Yeah, thank you. And we hadn't done it. We hadn't gone through that process before of mastering for vinyl, which is some people may not realize is different.
Way different.
So we ended up getting like 3 test pressings before we were, or I'll say happy, but I mean like really kind of resigned to, you know, the maximum kind of quality level that we could get out of the format because of just the way we recorded it and everything. But those formats, both digital and analog LP, are kind of coloring our approach a little bit more than I'd like to admit. Like, you know, we're definitely maybe like, you know, whereas on the first album we had a couple songs that went over 6 minutes long, I feel like our runtime song wise is getting shorter because we realize, well, we want to at least probably do a single record next time for purely budgetary constraints, and have like, you know, 4 or 5 songs on each side and make it like, you know, a solid 40 minutes, because you can only have 20 minutes per side.
Yeah, then we can let 20 minutes aside. Well, 17 and a half, I think, is the optimum. And so once we found all this out, once we released our first album, which was a double album, basically, all these old bands, you listen to old AC/DC, when you listen to old Priest, they all have 8 song albums. Yeah. Zeppelin.
Yeah.
All their stuff was 8 songs. And now you start scratching your head. Why was it 8 songs? Oh, because you can only fit 8 songs, 40 minutes of music on an LP. So it kind of made sense. So if we are going to release LPs, it's like, well, let's look at the 8 song format rather than 12.
If you're as concerned about the sound quality as you know, VR anyway, but yeah. So that's coloring. But then also like, you know, just thinking about the way people digest music, and, you know, I made a decision the other day on a song that we're about to release that, you know, I said, maybe we should have an instrumental chorus, because the chorus is kind of the big hook. It's like, maybe we should do that off the top instead of waiting so long before we get to it, because, you know, with people's attention spans now, they're not necessarily listening, you know, for the first 30 seconds they're hitting. And so as much as I'm playing ball, it also bugs me, you know, that those things are kind of entering into our artistic, you know,
100%.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to compromise, right? You don't want to compromise the artistic quality of the songs by just having to think about all these extra things that have really nothing to do with the actual songwriting process in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't think it's compromised the integrity of the songs at all. It's just made us think about the, I guess the proper word would be editing of them.
Sure.
In a different way, right? The meat and potatoes of the song wouldn't change if it was 7 minutes long or 4 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, like little more fat trim.
Yeah.
You know,
and arguably it might be better for it, but it still bugs me a little bit just that we were even thinking that, but that's just, well, you know,
the way it is.
I mean, you know, there's bigger things to consider too, like with Spotify's new
terms and conditions, and it seems like they're sort of paving artists for the way for like their own AI to start
totally,
you know, getting the clearance for them to just suck up whatever sounds they want. If you became successful, they could just pump out some AI knockoff of you, whatever you're doing, and be legally, you know, protected to do that.
Well, basically, they're making you agree to this so they can use your body of work and their AI algorithms, right?
Yeah.
And so they can create your music as part of that bigger AI songwriters out there, right? Which to me, it's like we're between a rock and a hard place. How do we say no to that? And you know, as new artists, you know, you can't.
We have to look to bigger artists like Massive Attack, who like pulled their catalog from Spotify. Like, I wish more lists that have, you know, have already been established and aren't worried about streams so much, like, stood up and pushed back against this for all us little guys.
Yeah, I've seen some local bands do it too, but I mean, they, like you said, they have much smaller audiences, so it doesn't have the same impact, like, kind of universally on streaming in general, right? I mean, Massive Attack's a great example of someone who has a pretty big fan base and is, you know, that people are going to notice if they pull their stuff rather than have some local band.
Hold back, can you keep a secret? Baby, this day's here. Stressed less, cause what's real and what's left is all just smoke and mirrors. Take your money and throw it away. We're all going down, and I don't mean underground. You think it's funny ending this way? I know my exit sound, but you might still be around. Not for nothing, man, you dealt it this way. Willing player in a losing game. Keep your nose clean and pray like hell. There's no running away from yourself. Forget tomorrow, today is the day. Lady luck come to town, but she ain't sticking around. You won't catch me rushing in. A feast for fools who never win. And there you go, running your mouth, which never seems to suffer drought. No, you fuck around, you find out. Built your castles with the finest of sand. That were close at hand. Never met a bridge that you couldn't burn. I used to love it till it came my turn. Take your money and throw it away. We're all going down, and I don't mean underground. You won't catch me rushing in. A feast for fools who never. And there you go, running your mouth, which never seems to suffer drought. No, you fuck around, you find out. You fuck around, you find out.
Get back to your new music. Sonically, how has it changed? I mean, you've been around as a band, you know, for a while now. You got the one album under your belts. Your new music. For someone who's heard the first record, how would you sort of describe the way the sound has changed or progressed between those songs and these new ones? If it has.
So the first one, it definitely has. The first two songs, actually, that we released, Any Means and You Got a Hold on Me, were songs that Trevor and I did with an older project of ours after Jet Set, where the two of us kind of got together and wrote songs for licensing, basically TV and film, okay, and that kind of stuff. And these were kind of taken from that old project and revamped into what we hear now, for none other than the fact that I felt they didn't get a fair shake back in 2015 when we did our old project. The actual songwriting itself, I feel... it hasn't really changed much. There's a bit of a progression in the sense that it's a little smarter now, I feel. It's still metal with rock tinge to it. You know, it's not super death metal or anything like that. It's palatable. You know, it's heavy music that the average listener could, you know, get into.
Yeah.
There's screaming or anything like that, you know. But yeah, I feel that as production-wise, definitely it's sounding better. I feel that there's some new tricks that I've used that have kind of enhanced the quality of the audio itself. But songwriting-wise, I don't think it's really changed. It's just a natural progression from what we were doing from the first batch of songs.
We have the first couple songs are in a lower tuning, though, where okay. We've dropped.
Drop tuning.
Yeah, we were playing most of the first album was in C or C sharp, and now we've gone down to like
drop A.
Yeah.
So was that deliberate, or did that just sort of how the songs worked out?
Well, somewhat. I mean,
it was a deliberate choice for the so the first song, Any Means, was written in that key, the drop A key, and it was the first one that we recorded for the album. So the next one, You Got a Hold on Me, I just suggested, why don't we try this one in A as well? And it turned out really well for just playing wise, sound wise, singing wise. And yeah, there's a few more that we just deliberately kept in that key coming up. We still have songs written in, it's the key of C.
Yeah.
So we still have songs in the original tuning that we did the first album in, but this album was, it's good. There's probably half the album's going to be in the newer dropping a tuning.
Yeah. So I'd say just like from a riff point of view, like that always, that just, naturally kind of makes things sound a little tougher and more muscular. Sure. In a way.
I like muscular as a I mean, I've definitely heard it before in the musical context, but it works. I can see how that would apply to what you guys are doing.
Yeah. And we also have a full lineup now. So we have Don Jacks on drums, who came in at the tail end of us on the first album and helped with the last couple songs. And but Mike and Offerchuk on bass, who he plays around town in a few acts, but he's joined us now. And so those guys are weighing in on the arrangements and like adding details and things like that, that are like better.
Stuff that the two of us would overlook, you know, might be, hey, why don't we try this in this spot? And yeah, it's nice to have that outside perspective.
For sure. Yeah. Does that change the sort of the trajectory of this at all? Like knowing that you have more of a self-contained unit now rather than just, you know, the two of you sort of working on this?
A little bit. I mean, I think we're still the James and Lars kind of, like, you know, we're still hearing. Yeah. But that we kind of like went in with that sort of agreement with them, and they're the kinds of guys that were content with that for now anyway. So we kind of set the tone with the stuff and get, like, shape the ideas, because it's really hard to do. Some bands can do it well, I guess, but we found like it's hard to do with four people off the floor sometimes. It's just like
our writer process is a bit different. Yeah. We'll bring pretty much completed songs to the guys.
Okay.
And finish them, you know, put in the kind of put the icing on top. Whereas some bands will get together with a guitar riff or a vocal melody, and then everybody builds their parts off the floor. We're not like that. We've never been like that. So yeah, it's always been more, I don't know if you're a Metallica fan or have watched their process, but it's very much along the same lines as the way they write. Yeah. It's there's the meat and potatoes that are done, and then they kind of bring it to the guys and it gets finished in the studio, which just happens to be in my house.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, maybe something could happen out of a jam and we wouldn't shy away from that or whatever, but it's just, I think with our lifestyles, we all have day jobs. Like, it would take us 6 years to write an album if we went that way, you know. I think this way, pairing it back to just us two, getting those ideas down, building the parts, kind of at least getting a good skeleton, you know, put into place, that's just a way more efficient way, because we want to just keep bringing stuff out and pleasing that algorithm.
And from day one with Omens, it's that we've gotten together once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's kind of our schedule. I mean, sometimes it'll be a month until we get together again, but that's kind of been our schedules. Once every 2 weeks, we get together with our acoustic guitars and, hey, I got a new riff. Yeah. Hey, I got a new riff. Let's see where it goes.
It was kind of like one of those atomic habits. You know, we just like said, what can you do comfortably? What can I do comfortably? It's like once every 2 weeks, like every second Tuesday, we'll just do it. And we like really, really stuck to it. And you know, in a year's time, we made an incredible amount of progress.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. What do you think it is about the two of you that work so well together? I mean, obviously you've worked together, you know, prior to this project as well. There's got to be some kind of connection you have musically that fits. Have you been able to figure out what that is? Like what the magic is between the two of you?
Definitely. I mean, and this is from when I joined Jet. So I joined Jet Set after the album was recorded, hadn't been released yet.
Okay.
So January 2000. Right off the hop, I was a fan of his. Like I'm just a fan of his voice and what he can do with it. And I enjoy writing, because when I write a riff, a lot of times I have his, what he can do in mind. This is what you need to do here, or whatever, you know. Also the chemistry that we have. I mean, we go back 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long time. I'm very comfortable. We're very comfortable speaking our minds to each other, and my feelings don't get hurt. Yeah. And it's all about the song. It's the quality of the song. And then the other half of it is we grew up listening to a lot of the same music. Pantera, Kaya, Soundgarden,
Helmet,
yeah. You know, so a lot of these influences that I had, he has as well. So
yeah,
when we bring a riff together, it's almost natural. It's funny I say together, because that was one of the first songs we ever wrote together. It was a Jet Set song called Together.
Yeah.
And when we get to, when we meld together, everything just seems natural. And I've written with so many people where it's you're forcing these things to happen. And it just does. It's not like that with when I work with Trevor. So
yeah, I would say much the same thing. Like, honestly, like it probably sounds like, you know, lip service or whatever, but he's honestly my favorite guitar player. Like we have some of my favorite guitar solos of all time across. And I have like thousands of albums. You know, there's stuff on our stuff that he's done that is like my favorite stuff ever on guitar. And so, you know, when you have that and you know, similarly, like what you're capable, what he's capable of and whatever, I'll say like, I like this part, but like, you know, I think you could do more here. And he's open to that and takes it to another stratosphere a lot of the times. And yeah, we're a guitar band, very riff heavy. And like, I think some of the best solos that have ever appeared in rock. And that's honest to God truth.
That's a good problem to have then, to be working together if you both rate each other's work so highly. You know, not to dwell on the Jet Set thing, because I know this is a different band, but I love how you had the sticker on the record, you know, indicating that first of all you're from Winnipeg, and secondly that this is you know, sort of from the ashes of Jet Set. Do you feel, I mean, it's a different band clearly, sonically. There's obviously similarities because it's going to happen, you know, the same people. But do you feel like people are still sort of checking this project out because they know you from the previous one, or is that has it sort of shifted a bit and now it's sort of Omens as Omens without having that history attached to it? It probably always will be to some extent because of how successful that band was, but
you know, I think maybe to some degree less of being able to draft from that fan base as maybe we initially thought. Not that we had any expectations, but I feel like any attention that Jet Set still gets is mostly nostalgia.
Sure.
I don't think people maybe listen to the music because they still discover it, or to be, you know, I think it's just a lot of people listening because they knew it from back in the day and then that's what they like, because, you know, this is different, but there's still enough commonality. You'd think it would be a gateway drug to what we're doing, but I don't think we've seen that as much. And
it's been surprising.
Yeah. And that's fine.
I thought there'd be a lot more overflow from the Jet Set fan base to ours. And it really hasn't been that way. A lot of the Omens fans are new fans. They're true Omens fans, which I love. I absolutely love that. That's, you know, because this isn't a continuation. This is a new project.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I think this is like a more refined approach of our, like, of our sound and vision too. Like with Jet Set, there was as many as four writers at a time, and so that was difficult to navigate sometimes, you know, and we chased things that were maybe outside of our identity at times, just because you're balancing egos, I mean, sometimes it wasn't even as nefarious as that. It was just that it was a good song. And recognizing the songwriters that it was a good song, we just tried to finish it the way we knew how, but did it actually make sense for the statement that we wanted to put out? Not necessarily all the time. And so I feel like this is a lot more of a focused kind of thing. Like, we wouldn't put on a song that we, like, the two of us, especially didn't feel like was supposed to be there. And I think it's just, it's less egos to balance and just a more,
agree upon from the outset, sort of.
I think focused is the best word. Yeah. I felt like when I joined the band, I got kind of a preview, a blueprint before it was released. And I was like, okay, five really kick-ass songs and five like Sarah McLachlan type ballads almost. And it was, to wrap my head around, it was just like schizophrenic is probably the best way to describe the first, well, probably first two albums. I don't think End of an Era was as bad, but just it wasn't focused. Whereas Omens, we know what we want with our album. We know at the end of the day, we want a very, like, it's going to be a rock album. You know, maybe there'll be a ballad on it someday, somewhere, but like, we're not a ballad band at the moment, right? And yeah, with Jet Set, there's a lot of ballads. And then you'd get like a Please Capture Me, and then a Vegas, and then a Belonging, and then a Together. You know what I mean? It was very disjointed and listening to a front to back. And I'll even say, I find like Vegas, especially, it's a hard listen for me. And I mean, obviously I'm close to it.
You know, of course. What I mean? Yeah.
Listening to it all these years later, I find it a very hard front to back listen. Like I'm skipping songs.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things from the outset with Omens. It's like, I don't want to skip songs. If we're listening to this in 20 years, playing it for our grandkids, you know, I don't want to be skipping songs.
Yeah.
Well, I think I may have brought this up last time you were on the show, Trevor, but like, I imagine that this project gives you more leeway to sort of explore all of the influences that you guys have. I mean, some of the bands you mentioned, I don't think would necessarily come to people's minds when they're listening to Jet Set. But with Omens, sure, it makes more sense, right? So does this this kind of more DIY aspect of it, I guess, does it give you more latitude to sort of explore the stuff you really wanted to explore that maybe because of, you know, your age at the time and your sort of newness to the industry and things like that maybe contributed to not being able to fully realize?
Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. I mean, I think one thing that can't be understated too is that, you know, when we had all that initial success with Jet Set, we were on Much Music and on the radio like constantly, right? So we always had that in the back of our minds, even though we went independent for the second and third albums, that we wanted to get back on the radio and back on. Now those just aren't even options, right? You don't even think about that. So you just kind of tend to go more, you know, you just follow your heart and do what it is that you want. It's not that we were trying to be like super premeditated or whatever, but there was just certain things that wouldn't have been on the table. Like, you're not gonna probably tune down to Drop A and like think you're gonna get, you know, and write like our new single's called Fuck Around and Find Out. That's not something that we were gonna write back in, you know, the mid 2000s and expect that the commercial rock radio stations were gonna pick it up. Like, let's just not. But now that's kind of what we wanted. Yeah, and like, you know, we're just doing it because it's in a different place, you know, like the band at that point was our entire lives. You know, we had little part-time jobs and stuff, but essentially we were chasing that dream. And now, you know, we do this as a super important.
It's a passion project.
I hate the hobby word, but we have, you know, more realistic expectations and, but still approach the artistic side of it, like as seriously as we ever have.
Yeah, we're doing it more now than we ever did in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
But that makes a lot of sense for sure. And I know that the hobby word has negative connotations, but I don't think in this case it does. I think you can take something that is a hobby and devote, you know, sort of the energy and time and effort that you want to it when you don't have those trappings of having to be on the radio, having to be on Much Music, having to knowing, you know, where this song is going to be heard. You can sort of just play it for you and for the audience that you know exists that likes what you do.
Every soul has showed up for this day.
Yeah, it's why we like won't use like things for our social channels to like boost our followers.
And yeah,
we actually those followers for real. So we don't have as many followers as a lot of bands that have been around or they've put out as much music as we have. But like we know that they're real and that hopefully, you know. So yeah, I mean there's been a lot of trial and error in terms of promoting and working the things in the digital realm and a lot of course correction. You know, we're just learning things about it every day.
Exactly. This is a learning curve for us. It's, you know, and I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you're never going to stop learning music. You're always, you know, building upon the knowledge that you already have, right? Every song is a learning experience. And that's the way I look at it. A experiment in doing something new.
Well, one aspect of that is like, we're now on our second video that's been banned by Google. Which is crazy because we're not trying to be controversial in the slightest. But they are strangely,
Well, like we said, Fuck Around and Find Out is being, so it's the little video we have, we actually did a shorter video. We didn't do the full song. And it was basically just this old footage of two guys fighting. And what was the exact wording they used today was?
Balls,
trying to promote violence, and
it's from an old movie, I think, from the silent era.
It's
in public domain, and it's just like, it's clearly staged, it's clearly actors, it's like, come on. Like, I mean, the guy's like, you know, the one guy gets punched out on the dock and he kind of struts around, the winner struts around a bit, and then he gets jumped. But I mean, it's just like a funny little clip that we thought would be funny to go along with a song called Fuck Around and Find Out. And yeah, it's been flagged by Google, like via YouTube. And that happened to us on our first song, our first video for Any Means as well. And it's wild to us that you can turn on the news and watch Charlie Kirk getting shot in the neck, but like a rock band puts out something with like a clip from the silent era and it's flagged and it feels weirdly Handmaid's Tale.
Well, and how long ago did George Carlin do the seven words that can't be said on TV? You know
what
I mean?
It's close to 50 years now. Yeah.
Honestly, and fuck is still one of those words, really? Like, come on.
Anyway. Yeah, we're even having trouble. We made a clean version of it for all the platforms as well, and we're even having problems with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really interesting. Like I said, lots of learning, lots of course correction.
Yeah, that's definitely not something you would have encountered in any way, shape, or form, you know, 25 years ago. But so if people want to hear Fuck Around and Find Out, obviously the video is kind of questionable. But where do they go? Where can people find this music and hear what you're up to on this new record?
Yeah, I mean, we're on all the streaming platforms, even some of the ones that I don't understand, but like there's like, of course, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, YouTube Music, but we're even on like stuff like, what's it called? Deezer and like Zora, like all those weird ones.
There's like 35 of them or more. It's crazy. Yeah. But I don't know who uses them, but someone must be.
Yeah. And we have like, we're on Bandcamp too. Of course, we have a Bandcamp page and stuff like that.
And we also have a website.
Yeah. The website. Yeah.
It's like owensrocks.com.
Yeah.
Cool. I can link to that in the show notes just so people can find that. So what is the sort of rollout for the singles? I mean, I know you have some out already, obviously more coming out in the future. What do you have like a timeline sort of figure out as how this album is going to slowly emerge?
Yeah. Well, after the first, so we released Any Means in May. And we saw our monthly listeners shoot up and then kind of plateau. So we decided, okay, so then we release Got a Hold on Me in July, I think it was. Or was it August? I think it was July. So then we saw it. So we kind of plateaued. Then we saw the monthly listeners jump again. So now we're kind of thinking we're seeing a drop off again. So about every 4 to 6 weeks, it seems like the sweet spot to release something. So it's just a matter of us doing it. So we have the next two songs in the can, Fuck Around or Find Out. And then we have one coming out in October.
That's a surprise.
Surprise drop.
Yeah.
Which you're everybody.
Hey, by the time this airs, it'll be.
People will probably heard it. Yeah. They'll know all about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we recorded a Halloween song, which like my birthday's on Halloween. I worked at a horror magazine for a few years. I'm pretty closely associated with Halloween, but it never really occurred to me to try writing a Halloween song that could contribute to what I guess like decidedly, like when you go to Halloween parties and stuff like that, like it's a kind of a small oeuvre of songs.
There's AFI, there's like The Damned. Not a lot. Yeah.
Dragula, you know, and I started listening off and I'm like, okay, like there's not that many of them. So maybe we could actually crack into it. It came together. Like that was after the fact. We kind of had that realization. It was just like, I was like, I think this song's about Halloween. And so we just like wrote a song about Halloween and now, we're going to drop it by surprise on October 10th, 10/10. And we'll see how it goes. But
by the time people hear this, they will have already seen how it went, I guess, and they'll have heard it and everything. But you know, the good thing about this being a podcast, people could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it, you know, 5 years from now. Apparently, I'm never going to stop doing this show, so it could be 10 years from now. What do you have coming up for people who are actually listening at the time it gets released? Do you have any shows or anything exciting happening in the relatively near future?
No, we actually decided to focus on writing this new album rather than play shows. Playing shows, I mean, it's a lot of work. We all have day jobs.
Getting together
to rehearse. It just isn't in the cards right now. When we get together, we work on the new material. And so that's really what we're focused on. All of our free time is basically recording and writing this new album. So I think March we decided maybe we'd play a show.
We have a couple shows booked for next summer, but I don't think that we can announce those.
Not quite yet.
That's fair.
Yeah,
they're both multi-band bills. Yeah, not our shows.
Yeah.
Early next year, we'll probably end up doing a show once the album is completed and released and all that stuff.
Which is also kind of mind blowing because I'm just thinking like by then we'll have put out like, you know, almost an entire album, another one. And it's like,
sitting down and make a set list before, like, at, you know, the last time we played a show, which is, we only had one show.
Yeah.
That one album, so you're putting together set list, and now the next set list is going to be like, it could be almost entirely new songs, yeah, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for people who have seen you, who saw you the last show and are waiting all this time to see you the next time, right? At least they'll get a completely different experience. It won't be the same set twice. Yeah.
Dangling from your lips, and secret symbols shooting at your fingertips. I know you're crazy, but I like it. You got a hold. You got a hold. Always have been.